I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Evening, Christopher Pollard prepares to get us underway here. Charlton with five of the next seven games here at the Valley. You just get the feeling that it's pivotal and key to how we do for the rest of the season. And we are underway here at the Valley, but immediately going down to Charlton, right? Give love a reason. Give love a corner on the far side, Sheely goes across to take it. Look for Stockley. Partnership has been so rewarding. Watson's in, and it's Stockley, and it is the goal, and it is that partnership that gives Charlton the lead. 9 minutes gone, Charlton 1-0 up.
Well, there was warning signs early in this game when Stockley hit the bar of the header, but this time makes no mistake. It's a good ball in from Shinny, and as you say, it's a partnership brewing between those two. Every one of Stockley's goals being assisted by Andrew Shinny. It's a lovely corner. Burton will certainly be asking questions of their defence. Sweeney delivery from Shinny. Stockley totally free in the end. A powerful header. Too powerful for Garrett. Charlton have the lead. Just for the way we take to Smith. He's got some space and time. Smith crosses towards the far post. Fondle with the header. Burton Albion a level. Far too easy in the end. Smith down the line with the throw. Cross into the penalty area. It's a high one. Fondle, it was, with the header. His first start for the club.
Difficult to know where the problems came there, whether it's allowing Smith to just run across the middle of the pitch, unfettered. And then while he's over on that Charlton right-hand side, allowing him to just have the freedom of that right-hand side to get his cross in. And once the ball's hanging up like that, Fondle out to lead both Purrington. Oshalaja really got to the ball before. Oshalaja, Purrington couldn't block him off. Once he got there, there's no way he was missing that.
Was Fondot, it's a lovely header towards Rogue. Control glides past Matthews. He's got Aikens behind him. Matthews does well to get back, but Rogue can turn. Now he's got space ahead of him. Rogue thinks about a shot, does go for it. It's a deflection and it's looped over Ben Amos. Rowe with a spectacular effort, just a glancing deflection off Ben Watson and looped over Amos, who couldn't keep it out. Burton Albion have the lead.
You just can't sum up the luck of that. I mean, admittedly, caught out on this near side. Again, point the fingers at letting the player go too far. Rowe with the ball, and his shot might have even come off the hand of the Charlton man and just looped over Ben Amos. There had no chance with it whatsoever. And Ike does get his head to it. Martson trying to flick it onto Stockley, but he gets that wrong. Brayford gets it away. Prattley with the header in field, and that is the final whistle.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. We'll be looking back at that hugely disappointing home defeat against Burton Albion on Tuesday evening. And of course, ahead to Saturday's home game with Blackpool on this evening's Big Match Preview. Joining me to do that, first up, Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lou?
Yep, not too bad, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Surviving?
Just about, yeah. Just about after Tuesday. Yeah, wasn't the best viewing, was it? We try not to talk about it too much.
Absolutely. Well, you say that, but the first half of the show is entirely dedicated to dissecting that.
Can't wait.
And someone who was at the front of the queue to join us for this week's pod as well, Mr. Tom Walling. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. Yeah, you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Looking forward to Saturday and have a chance to... I mean, where better place to start that run than at home to Blackpool on Saturday?
Exactly right, yeah. the run's got to start sometime, hasn't it? So people keep telling us.
Yeah, well, it's around the corner. It's around the corner. So, yeah, let's... I mean, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer in a minute, of course. But, I mean, let's look back at that game on Tuesday first then. So, you know, bottom of the table. Not anymore, thanks to us, but Burton Albion come to the Valley. You know, and things started so well. We were dominant. Jaden Stockley hit the crossbar in the first few minutes. Headed home a corner kick, 10 on 10 minutes. You know, his fourth goal for us, which is, you know, nice to see a lone striker scoring goals, which you don't often see. But then, you know, Burton played their way back into it, equalised sort of half an hour into the first half, scored early in the second half, bit of a freak goal, but they, you know, they all count. And then we just couldn't, we just never really looked like getting back into it, Lewis. It was, I mean, it's just sort of summed up our season at the moment, particularly at the Valley. You know, we've done bits and pieces okay, then tailed off quite alarmingly.
Yeah, it's worrying. I mean, it's out of character for us, for our home form, to be so poor. I mean, whether you can say that the fans not being there is a factor, I imagine it does play some kind of role. But, I mean, the performances just haven't been good enough, have they? And, I mean, we started really well Tuesday, as you say. Really impressed with Stockley. You know, hit the bar really early on. Lively start. Even Deji, you know, getting involved. He whipped in a really good ball as well for that. And I was thinking, all right, okay, so we're playing a bit of a different system. And it looked like we were, you know, sort of going all out. And I was impressed with the opening stages. And we go one up early on, which is, you know, something we've been sort of dying for recently. We haven't really got the early goal. It was something that Kerbs and Scott Minto were talking about before the game on Valley Pass, that if we can get that first goal and just, and you know, try and push on from there, it'd be interesting to see how we react. And sadly, it went the wrong way again. And yeah, all in all, it was a really disappointing performance. I didn't think in the second half especially we looked like we were going to get back into it. I always give us a chance at home to get back into games, especially with a deficit of just a goal, especially against a side near the bottom of the table. And sadly, as the half withered on, it looked less and less likely that we'd be able to claw ourselves back into the game. And obviously the sucker punch of that second goal seemed to be another sort of long distance fluky effort going against us. I think there was someone put a stat out, didn't they, about the amount of goals scored against us from outside the box, and it's staggering. But we need to pick ourselves up pretty quickly. I think we've got quite a few midweek fixtures in a row now, so the games are coming thick and fast, and we've said a lot about trying to pick a run-up, but at the moment, it's hard to see when that run's going to start. And I mean, let's hope it's Saturday, but at the moment, something's just not clicking, and it'll be a real concern for Lee Bowyer.
Yeah, Tom, I mean, it's so alarming, isn't it, that performance after Burton got back into the game, and the way it just seemed to sap the confidence out of our side. You know, they started so well. That was the thing that was sort of hard to compute. You know, how they can go from playing so well at the start of the game for the first 20 minutes or so, or, you know, getting that goal, could have had another one or two. And then falling away like they did. I mean, you know, I've spoken a lot about, you know, over the last few weeks about, you know, the parts of our performances that you take some joy from. And I guess you could therefore argue that 20 minutes of that on Tuesday you will. But the thing that's really concerned me is against Fleetwood, we never looked like scoring after 10 minutes. And against Burton, we didn't really look like scoring after 20 minutes. Whereas that's, you know, that's starting to tail off now. Our opportunities to score goals seem to be few and far between. And yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I've now joined Tom Walling in the playoffs off the table club. And it's not a fun club to be in.
Do you not think? I don't mind it, to be honest, because I said on Saturday's game I was a bit bored. But look, I didn't enjoy Tuesday's, obviously, because we lost. But it's a lot easier to kind of not get wound up about the games when you've made your peace with the fact that we're not going up, which I have done. So, yes, I was just as disappointed as everybody else in the performance, but I kind of wasn't as angry as, and obviously social media is what it is, but I wasn't as angry as some people were after the game, because I kind of expected it. You know, going into the game, did I think we would lose to Burton? Possibly not. But when we went 2-1 down, I was pretty certain we wouldn't get back into it, because I can't think of many examples this season where we've proven we can come from a goal behind and win games. So, yeah, look, I'd rather be in a positive camp of thinking we could go up, and I'd rather the team were giving me reason to believe that. It doesn't give me any pleasure for the team to put out performances to prove a theory that isn't promotion. But you look at those performances, and there's more and more people saying, you know, every game that goes past, that we're not consistent enough to go up. And I think what's kind of frustrating everybody and confusing everybody and making everybody so annoyed at the moment is, when you put this squad on paper where the game isn't played, they are a good squad of players. You look through that list and there's a lot of good quality players there, but it goes back to what I said at the weekend or Thursday show, that lack of identity in the team and that lack of knowing what sort of a team it is where the big problem is. And until that gets sorted, we're not going to be able to win games. And I suppose the most concerning thing at the on Tuesday night, if I am going to look at issues, is what you just said there, that when we concede a goal, the confidence levels just drop. And I mean, I don't know when it was that they scored, but when that happened, we just resorted to just lumping it long to Stockley immediately. That was our go-to tactic. It happened at the weekend that, you know, we tried passing it around about, that didn't work, so we just started lumping it long. And obviously the wind played a part then, but there's no obvious plan A, I would suggest, and there's certainly not a plan B. So when we concede a goal, it just looks like we're the easiest team in the league to play against, and proved it again on Tuesday night, unfortunately. And that's why I'm in the camp I am, where I just think we haven't got enough in us to stay up at the moment. Sorry, not to stay up, to go up.
Yeah, not quite got to those depths yet, but hey, there's still a lot of football to be played. Yeah, I mean, I looked at the league table after, you know, I'll just look at the results. I mean, after we beat Rochdale about 3 weeks ago, I remember thinking, yeah, we still got a chance here. And we got beat by Gillingham and wasn't quite ready to write it off. But obviously, that did part of that deal of me not quite writing us off just yet did include us actually picking up some points over the next few games, which we haven't done. So now we're sitting 5 points outside the playoff games. We've got 16 games left to go. We're on, was it 44 points, I think it is. And yeah, 44. So if we win 10 of those 16 games, that would put us on to 74 points, which might sneak you into the playoffs if you're lucky. So we'd have to win minimum 10. And we don't look like winning one at the moment, Lewis. That's the problem. The way we've played over the last 3 or 4 games, we don't come close to picking up. We, you know, Gillingham, sure, we created some chances, you know, until Chooks went off. But Fleetwood and Burton, we certainly didn't create chances, and we concede sloppy goals again. So it's just mathematically now, it would take one hell of a turnaround. And unfortunately, I think my hope that could happen completely drained out of me on Tuesday night.
Yeah, you and me both. I totally agree. I think, as Tom says there, with the consistency, we lack it incredibly. And there have been a few times sort of over the last month or so where there's been a few false dawns where I thought that maybe that would trigger something. You know, you only got to look a month ago, we had MK away, we take a 1-0 win, get a clean sheet after, you know, a couple of rocky performances and conceding quite a few goals. You think, okay, clean sheet, that'll do the defence a world of good, bit of confidence, 3 points on the board. You then go on and you lose 3-1 to Portsmouth. Then we had the 2-0 win at Rochdale, and you think, okay, here we go. You lose 3-2 at home to Gillingham. We got a point last weekend, and you think, something to build on. You go and lose at home to Burton. We're so yo-yo at the moment. Like, there's no real consistency, and it's hard to see where we're going to get that from at the moment. Because as you say there, like with the amount of games we have left to play, and you say, we're on 44 points, sitting 5 off of the playoffs. Doncaster sat in 6th at the moment with 3 games in hand. That's not to say that games in hand is an advantage, because we've seen that it can't, it isn't always the case. We had it ourselves, we had games in hand over everybody, and we didn't take advantage of that, and we are where we are. And as you say, to win the volume of games that I think and you think that we'd need to get into that top six, I think it's totally unrealistic, and I just can't see it at the moment, because I can't see where we're going to strike up that, you know, that actual sort of continuity and try and draw out these results. Because at the moment, I mean, teams are coming to the Valley and I think, okay, this could be our chance, and we blow it. I mean, Burton on Tuesday, the first 5 minutes, as I say, I was thinking, oh, here we go. Like, this could be it, a real boost, and a win at home after something, I can't remember how many games it is. It's quite a few, but we look at it now and we lose it. And that's, you know, Burton Albion, bottom of the table, done the double over us this season. And it's weird. It's hard to judge because, I mean, Tom, I think, has hit it on the head with the, you know, it is kind of, it's one thing to accept that we're not going to go up because we haven't been good enough over a longer period of time, not just the last few weeks, and we haven't been consistent enough. And this, you know, this goes back to sort of November. And you do have to remember how, with the state that the club was in at the start of the season, and our expectations then compared to now may have changed ever so slightly because of new ownership or whatever. But ultimately, I think at the start of the season, we all kind of, you know, surrendered to the fact that this was going to be a season to rebuild. I mean, at the start, it was a season to try and survive, and then it became a season to rebuild. And as the squad improved and the positivity spread from Thomas coming in, it then turned to, you know, playoffs, top six, which I don't think is over-egging it either. You know, I don't want people to think that if they've got expectations to finish in the top six, I don't want them to think that they're overkilling it, because they're not, because on paper that squad is good enough. But something's not clicking, and whether it's the nature the squad was put together, whether it's the way we're playing at the moment, or it's just a confidence issue, regardless, it's all creating one big cocktail, and it's something that's not helpful. And the way we're playing at the moment, as you say, I think I've just surrendered to the fact that it's going to be another season in League One, and it's going to be a big rebuild in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I did ask Bo after the game on Tuesday. I don't think it's in the clip that I'll play in a minute. But, you know, if we don't reach the playoffs, I mean, it's important that he uses this part of the season, you know, assuming he's still going to be here next season, to really assess his squad and work out, you know, what he needs to know. I mean, everyone talks about that Powell squad back in, was it 2011, when he first came in. Obviously, that difference, as Rick Everett pointed out on Twitter this week, it wasn't his squad as such, as in, you know, Powell wasn't in charge of picking any of those players. He came in possibly after the January transfer window, I can't remember exactly, but it certainly wasn't his squad. Whereas you could argue that this is with Bo. Obviously, there are constraints and all sorts that have had his hands tied a little bit during the assembly of this squad. But you know, it's going to be interesting how he uses this time now. If we don't, I mean, we still want to do it, of course, but it'd be interesting to see how he sort of manages the squad over the next however many games until the end of the season, 16 games, and decides what he wants to do with it. And I mean, one of the things he'll want to see within, he'll want to see which players can learn how to defend between now and the end of the season. I mean, that first goal for Burton Albion, Tom, again, it's just a little thing, but it's Dai Lang, Jaisimi just falling asleep at the throw-in, not really tracking the Burton chap on our right-hand side, I think it was, and the cross came over. And then between Purrington and Osher Larger, they seem to be beaten too easily in the air by Fondop as well. So, you know, it's another goal that, I mean, every goal, I'm sure you can pick out little things that should have changed. But, I mean, it's another one where there's a couple of big things there that we really should be doing a bit better.
Yeah, if we concede that off the back of the six-game clean sheet run that we had a little while ago, and that's the first one you concede, you go, well, that's a disappointing goal to concede, but move on. But when you're conceding poor goals week in, week out, any goal that you concede, you're going to look for errors and look for issues. So, yeah, it's not the worst goal we've conceded in recent weeks, but, you know, that's not winning a good competition, is it? So, yeah, another really disappointing one. And you're right, he has still got a job on his hands, because if we assume he is going to be here next season, he needs to use the rest of this season. I think, firstly, he's not going to write off playoffs until it's mathematically impossible, and he shouldn't. But he also has to be realistic and think, right, if I am looking ahead to next season, what am I going to do? And I talk a lot about, or have done in the last few shows, about the identity. I think, although we brought in some good players, and as I've said, the players are good players for this level, I felt we had to rush them in because of when Thomas came in and the deadline. And so whilst they're all good players, I don't know necessarily whether they're players that fit to a system. And that's what Powell managed to do all those years ago, and what Boya did previously when we were here. We had players that played in a very clear strategy in a clear way. And whilst, you know, any of those players as individuals are good, I don't think necessarily we've got a system yet that works. And what he needs to do between now and the summer going into next season is work out the sort of football he wants to play, and which players still fit that. And if there are players who are good players with a good reputation who don't fit that, then he needs to be brutal and get them out. And hopefully this is the last summer for a while that he needs to have that big clear out, because going forwards, we've got an owner who will hopefully back him and allow him to bring players in on slightly longer contracts. So look, I didn't want a season of transition. Nobody did. It might still not be. We might manage to scrape into those playoffs. But if it is a season of transition, it might not be the end of the world. But as you say, it doesn't matter what season it is. We have to defend better than we have been. And as I say, that goal wasn't the worst example of it. But whether it's the next 10, 15 games or whether it's the early part of next season, you cannot go into games giving goals away as easily as we have. And even that one, as you say, there are only two or three what you might call minor errors between those players. But it's enough for that player to get up far too easily at the back post and score the goal. I had similarities to that Matt Smith last minute at Millwall, where, you know, Naby Sarr did some really good things that season, was a really good defender for us, fell asleep for 1 minute away at our biggest rivals in the division, and we lost the game. So it can happen to anybody, but it's happening far too often with this current back four.
The Naby Sarr spirit lives on. Right, let's hear from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, then his reaction to that game against Burton Albion, and asked him for his thoughts at full time.
Disappointed. Disappointed. Could say a lot more than that, but I think that's the best way to put it.
What do you say to the players after that?
I think that's between me and the players. I don't think I should share that with anyone. That's a private conversation.
I mean, overall, what would you say you made of the performance this evening?
I thought we started really well. Played a different shape. To turn it around in 2 days like what we did, we could only work on it yesterday. I thought the players took to it very well. I thought it suited the players that started the game. So, but my biggest criticism in that first half was we didn't take our chances, we didn't capitalise on the areas that we was in. Don't know how many times we got in and around their box in the first half. But our quality wasn't good enough in the final third, and final decision making wasn't good enough. So, obviously should have had a second goal offside that was onside yet again. But, disappointing.
And obviously, once again, it's a disappointing goal to concede in the first half. Falling asleep a little bit at the back has been a bit of a reoccurrence here at the Valley, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not good enough, is it? Let's be honest. If you want to win games, you can't just switch off. Don't matter who you're playing against. If you just switch off, then they can punish you. And that's happened too much, isn't it? It's happened too much to us this season, especially at home. Another game that we dominated and we're coming away with nothing. So, there's no excuse. I take full responsibility. I'm the one that picks the team. I'm the one that asks them to play the way they do. So when things are going well, then I take the praise. And when things ain't going so well, then I take the criticism. All I can do is just keep working hard and trying to get the players to do the right things and play the right way. I think, again, tonight, large parts of that, I think that happened. But all I can do is try and dust them down, because it hurts me. It hurts me a lot when things like this happen. And, I'll try and pick the players up. Also, I have to pick myself up, because I have expectations. I have ambitions. I have standards. And at the moment, the results ain't matching where I want to be and where this club should be. So at times we all need picking up, you know. So today I'll leave the game again, disappointed again with the result, and figure out a way to win Saturday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Some people might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy with what I got. People might say that I should strive for more. But I'm so happy I can't see that sign.
But that's good work from Nico to win it back for Charlton. Ball across. Into Shinny's pass. Shinny into the penalty area, trying to get it across. He does to Morgan,
yes!
Who scores and finishes for Charlton and puts them in the lead here at Portman Road. Lovely work by Williams on the far side and Matthews, and equally Chuck Zanigo to keep it alive for Charlton. Eventually Shinny managed to get into the penalty area, ball back across, looked like it might have taken a deflection into the path of Alvy Morgan, who buries it for the Addicts.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Just for the adverts there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer. Genuinely, I think the most upset I've ever heard him. You know, you could hear the frustration. You could hear how much it's sort of getting to him, Lewis. And I mean, that's it. I mean, obviously he's under pressure. You know, obviously fans, a lot of fans are called. Again, I don't know percentage wise, but you read the message boards and Twitter, and a lot of fans are starting to lose patience. Of course, on the other side, there are fans who are still, you know, want to give Lee that summer. You know, when there's no restraints to see what he can do and work with Thomas and try and recreate that magic that he had, you know, last year. But The thing I think that will define him between now and the end of this season is finding a way to solve some of the problems that we have currently with the current squad, because obviously the amount of goals we concede, that can't go on, and it has gone on for quite a while now. So realistically, I mean, it has to improve at least. It, you know, it could be a personnel thing, or who knows. But he'll be scratching his head trying to work out how he can get an improvement between now and the end of the season. Because if there's no improvement, then I think then Thomas will find himself asking some big questions.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I do kind of understand where fans are coming from. You know, it's a results business, isn't it? And it's difficult. It's a ruthless business. I mean, I'm personally in the camp that I think Bo deserves the time to have a proper window without some kind of restriction or hurdle to deal with, because he has had those, and when we needed him, he stuck about. And at the moment, you know, the club need us, and sadly we can't be in the stands to make a huge amount of difference. And I genuinely believe that probably would help. You know, as a bit of a confidence thing. You know what it's like at the Valley. If you go behind early, then the crowd get behind you and rile them up. And Bo says that the fans have been the 12th man on so many occasions. That promotion winning season, he said the fans were paramount in that. And obviously we're dealing with that at the moment, not having fans in, but all clubs are. But, you know, it's difficult because it's easy to forget what he's done previously when it's so negative at the moment. And I think because the world that we're in at the moment, where the only distraction you have at the moment from the pandemic and from maybe being stuck indoors or being furloughed or not working is watching Charlton on the stream on the Saturday. And there's nothing else to distract you from the negatives. And at the moment, sadly, you know, probably more people are tuning in at the moment because of the coverage, etc., and not being able to do anything else and get to the Valley. And a lot more is being picked up. And I do think that ultimately, on the face of things, we haven't been good enough this season, and there have been too many mistakes. But I think from my side, I mean, every fan is entitled to their opinion, and I'm not saying that anyone's right or wrong, but I just think that people need to maybe remember what he has done for us in the time that he's been here, under the restraints and everything that he has had to deal with ESI, with Paul Elliott, with Roland. And, you know, there's no reason why there can't be a fairy tale ending of all of this. Yeah, maybe this season may be a write-off, as Tom says. It might not be the worst thing in the world if it is a season to rebuild. We've got a summer coming up, you know, after this season, if we're still in League One, which I imagine we will be, to go out there and deal in the market with an owner that's willing to invest without the constraints of a salary cap. Obviously, we'd need to stay in the constraints of financial fair play, but there'll be players that will move on and there'll be players that come in, and it's going to be a big rebuilding job. But there's no reason to say that that's a negative if this season doesn't go how planned. You know, would you rather get promoted in a, you know, sell out crowds and stuff next season when this mess of a pandemic is over with, or would you rather go up watching it on your sofa? I mean, I know either way, I'm not complaining if we got promoted, but I think there's light at the end of the tunnel regardless. And although it may be frustrating to watch now, I think we need to just bear with it and be patient. And, you know, we've dealt with so many years of turmoil. You know, one season, you can't expect years of neglect to correct overnight. So that's my view on it. I think that there's a big rebuild on in the summer. And in my opinion, my personal view is I'd prefer that rebuild to be done under Lee Bowyer.
Yeah, right. Plenty of tweets and emails came in to @CharltonLive or studio @charltonlive.co.uk. Hi to Jonathan West as well, sent in a tweet from the Upbeats. Paul Griffiths points out that we've been, I think, fined for failing to control our players for that little scrumash. At Fleetwood last week. It was so minor, I forgot it even happened, but we got fined like $2,500 for it, so I was surprised by that. Right, Cass says, I could accept the defeats just about if we showed more guts and determination. Unfortunately, this team is very unlike what we've come to expect from a Charlton side over the years. We have an ability, but unless the players show that they're up for the fight, we will continue to lose. Yeah, that's fair enough. Ben Lewis says, no ideas, no invention. We go long at every opportunity. What happened to the dribbles into the box, the snapshots on the edge? We go 2-1 down and we don't even pepper the bottom side in the league's goals. What's going on? The summer squad revamp is needed. Andy Lopata says, I'm not a fan of sacking Bowyer for reasons already stated, but Saturday and tonight have been unacceptable stuff. The players should be ashamed. And admittedly, some baffling decisions too. That was nothing short of absolute garbage after the first 20. I guess that is one thing, Tom. Obviously, there is all the focus on the manager Yeah, you know, when we go through a run of difficult results, but I mean, the players surely have to take some responsibility as well, especially those individual errors that we've spoken a lot about.
Yeah, and I feel we end up saying that every week, you know, and I think Boya referenced it. I don't know if it was after this game or after the weekend, but like, he's not going out and telling Joe Assimi to lose his man. He's not telling Deji Oshalaja and Ben Purrington not to challenge for headers at the back post. He's not telling, I think it was Adam Matthews the other week, wasn't it, to nod it back into the middle of the area and Ben Watson to lose the ball. These are basic errors. And yes, he takes a large portion of the blame because things rest with him. He sends a team out there and they commit, you know, football like that. There's only so much you can say. And I think the one would be, if you listen to the press conference today, he kept reiterating, and I think he might have done it on Tuesday night as well, I can't keep saying the same things over and over again. And whilst he's right in that, and these errors are things that professional players shouldn't be making, it does start to make you wonder, well, if you are saying the same things over and over again and it's not happening, are you the problem? You know, is that the issue? Because are the players not listening? Are they not understanding? Is there something in there? And like Lewis, my feeling is no. My feeling is Boya is the man and deserves, at the very least, a crack at next season or the start of next season. But that's the thing that's a bit of a concern, because, as you say, these are professional footballers, the quality of which I would say is good enough at this level, and yet they're making those basic errors. And yeah, the players have got to look at themselves as well. And I think he used the word embarrassed, didn't he, after Tuesday, which I hadn't heard him use before, certainly this season. And I think that's right. You know, he's called the players out. And we've seen when he called individual players out before, we've seen a response. I think that's probably what he's trying to do here, because a performance like Tuesday just simply isn't good enough.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to see too many more of those. Right, Michael Hudson says, I reckon the fortunes of Charlton have been more to do with the board than the manager. Robert says, I'm lost for words, really. I still back Boya, but the players are severely lacking tenacity, endeavour and the will to win. Whatever team he puts out, the players should show nothing short of 100%. He's lucky if they're showing 50 to 60%. He must be privately fuming. John Stewart says, how many points do we require to retain our status in this division? Well, let's see. Relegation zone currently 27 points. I imagine, well, it's not, they normally say 50 points, don't they, in the Championship? So in League One, I imagine it's probably quite similar. So we've still got 6 points to go, John. So hold tight. Phil says, a bit confused by Lee Boya's comments on Valley Pass after the game, where he stated that Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank had come in and turned things around. Boya said he's tightened up their defence. That's his job. So why isn't Lee Boya able to do that for us? I'm sure that's a question he's been asking himself over the last few weeks as well. Right, Richard says, hi guys, it's not just about the final third decision making. The team looks disjointed and disorganised, ever changing team selects and ever changing shape. The team doesn't know doesn't look like they know what to do and where to do it. The problem is deeper, in my opinion. They just don't know where we go from here. That's from Richard. Cheers, Richard. Phil says, unfortunately, I have no positive thoughts about the way things are going. We continuously concede sloppy goals. Tonight, we switched off and allowed their player to firstly cross the full width of the pitch. Then, when they win the resulting throw, allow a player to make a run between two of our players and receive in enough throw to get a crossing unchallenged. Then in the second half, we allow their player to run and set himself for the shot unchallenged. When will Boya realise that we need a defensive coach? Yeah, I do wonder if he'll be wanting to try something to get that defence sorted. Right, Ian says, I'm at a loss as to what happened on Tuesday. Bo seemed to go through every player formation possible and just didn't get a song out of any of them. It must have been hard watching that tonight. I'm the biggest Boya fan, I really am. But even now, I'm questioning what he's getting out of this group. Just don't know where to go from here. Yeah, I mean, it's the question that unfortunately none of us know the answer to, and it's really difficult. Finally, Troika says, hi there, I woke up this morning with tonight's Charlton Live on my mind. I thought about the hard work that you and your fellow broadcasters have done over the past few years to keep our spirits up. The last year has been a wonderful effort by you all during lockdown, and both my wife and I appreciate it very well. Thanks very much. Thank you, one and all. We both think that you all need a boost, as the current Boya outclack seem to be pulling everyone down. In Boya, we trust in my mind, still relevant, even more relevant in this transitional period of the team. I seem to remember that 40 points was the target for staying up in the Premiership. We've got 44 now, so maybe we're safe. I wonder what point tally is for the playoffs, sixth place. How many games we have left to achieve that? Please thank everyone from both of us. Come on, your heads. Positivity breeds positivity. Actions they use to tell me. So let's hope a bit of positivity can be bred. As I said, I reckon. I mean, you're looking at upper 70s probably for playoffs, and you know it's going to be a tough ask, unfortunately, from here on in. But you know, so I'm sure stranger things have happened. Right, let's hear from Bayer one more time. There was an interesting question in press day today. Obviously, you know, with the negative run that we're on at the moment, you know, Bayer does call the players out and criticises them. But at the same time, I guess he has to find that right balance between criticising them and keeping the players' heads up. So he was asked today, you know, how can he find that balance between, you know, trying to G them up, but also making sure that they can learn from their mistakes?
Firstly, they need to see the mistakes, because if they don't see them, then they don't learn. And to get that balance, as a professional footballer, and I've been one of them, to get that balance, sometimes as a professional footballer, you have to take responsibility. And when the manager or a coach is passing on information to you, like we're going to do again today, you're going to pass on information. And then you have to take that, whether it's positive or negative. You can't just be a player and just accept, oh yeah, I'm doing well. I don't know, Chuck's coming off the bench, scoring. Oh, great. Oh, but Chuck, you've also done this wrong. Oh, what, you can't take that criticism? Of course you can. Look at me. I've had praise. And now results ain't going away. Negative. Okay, fine. It's down to me to make that right. And the players are the same. So if you can't handle criticism, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong game. If you want to take the praise, you must be able to take the criticism. And I praise all the players when they do well. I'd also criticise them when they don't do well, because you have to learn. There's a balance. And today will be one of them moments where they will see a video and it won't be pretty, some of it. But there's also going to be parts on the video that are pretty. And to remind them, look, this is what you're capable of. Just stop this rubbishness, this stupidness, and then things will be good. So players have to be mentally strong as well. It's not all negative. We don't just show them negative. We show them positive as well. Because if not, then especially today's day, like everyone just going home and sitting in their house and just dwelling on negativity. I don't do that. I tell them that they're great as well. Maybe too much. Maybe I tell them they're too good, too much. And then maybe that's why they get slack. I don't know. But I try to find the right balance. And so, yeah. And then it comes down to the person or the players as individuals and whether they can handle that. And they should be able to, because if they can't, it's a tough career if you can't handle it.
Yeah, interesting that from Bayer there, Lewis. I mean, you really do have to find that right balance. And it is so tempting to just be completely negative at the moment, because we are making these mistakes and we are, you know, conceding sloppy goals over and over and over again. But at the same time, you know, as Bo said there, if they're just constantly getting hammered, when at the same time they are doing some things right, you know, creating some chances, obviously that's dried up a bit in the last two games, they're just going to go home with a bit of a bee in their bonnet, having been slagged off again. So it's a balance he has to find. And I guess maybe, I wonder if it's one that as fans we have to think about as well. I mean, we can't affect the players as much as we want to, of course, because we're not there in person in terms of a crowd. But I guess they're more than likely to read some of the stuff they see on social media. And if it's a constant hammering, then that probably doesn't help.
No, I don't think it does. And as you say, we can't do our bit in the stands at the moment. So we kind of need to do what we can from our sofas. You know, we can't. It is really difficult because I do think we are a very sort of supporter reactive team. Like I said before, the club, well, the players that we've had over the last couple of seasons have responded well to the support at the Valley, and you know, since Bowie has come in, especially the atmosphere, even in the toughest of times, has been really, really good at home, especially. And we can't make that effect at the moment, and that will definitely be playing on the players' minds. And also, you know, the fact that we're in this slump is, you know, everyone can see it. And if we can see it, the players can see it. And the players, they're living it day by day. You know, they're in training trying to work out the kinks. They're probably working really hard in training, going through different routines, trying to iron out the creases to certain defensive areas. And then when the weekend comes around, they might make a different one. You know, they'll be thinking that they're not getting the rub of the green or things aren't going their way. And Bo's right. You know, you do have to strike that balance. We've got, you know, we've had a lot of chopping and changing in the side over the season, which some has been forced and some of it has probably been a little bit criticised. But you can't really blame Bo for changing it at the moment because we're not getting the results. So he's obviously he doesn't know his strongest 11 because I don't think we particularly have that strong of an 11 at the moment, the way we're playing. So he's obviously trying to make the changes that are required to try and grind out results, and it's not happening at the moment. So, yeah, you're bang on with the confidence thing, and players will read it on social media. And yet, Kyle's podcast, the Worldballing podcast, the episode with Tom Lockyer this week, with the comments he made about social media being poisonous and coming off of it, you know, as a professional footballer, that, you know, that hits home. And that's just one player in Tom Lockyer. You don't know what's happening with the guys, you know, at our club at the moment. And some of those players have been through the turmoil with us over the last couple of seasons, you know, probably not knowing if they're getting paid, etc. And they've stuck by it. The likes of Jake Borstokowski, etc., who have stayed when we needed them. And if they're getting peppered on social media now, it's not going to help them. So it's difficult because obviously for us, it's frustrating at home. We can't be there. And that in itself is a challenge for us because I'm sure a lot of people, despite how we're playing at the moment, would rather be at the Valley this Saturday trying to cheer him on to get them through and get a result. But we can't be, and that's a frustration for us. And I think that frustration comes onto the support and then leaks onto social media, and sadly the people that are taking the brunt of that are going to be the players and are going to be Lee Bowyer, because they're the people that are putting in the performances on the, you know, on the Saturdays and Tuesdays that are giving everyone the hump effectively. So yeah, I think we can't affect it. All we can do is try and be as positive as possible on social media. You know, don't go on there and tag players and slate them purposefully, because they're all human beings. You know, if you wouldn't like it if it was happening to you, so don't do it to somebody else. And you know, that's the position we're in at the moment. We're a confidence football club, have been for a long time, and we rely massively on fans, and they can't be there. So let's do what we can from our homes to try and get us out of the slump.
Certainly. Right, quick break, then when we come back, we'll start to look ahead properly to the home game with Blackpool on Saturday.
So we meet again, and I offer my hand all dry and English slow. And you look at me, and I understand, yeah, it's a look I used to know.
Good ball out here on the right-hand side of Smith. Smith, ball into the box, and he can have fire! Superb goal by Chowan. Brilliantly worked on this right-hand side. Smith with the cross. And Aniko's on hand to bury his header.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to the final part of this week's Charlton Live, the big match preview. Thank you for listening all the way so far. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at the Blackpool game. So if you want to have your say on the performance, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live. We'll get through as many as we can on Saturday. If we win, there'll be fewer. So if we lose, everyone will be queuing up. But that's just the way it is, unfortunately. People need to vent a little bit at the moment. And I'm hoping, Tom, that they won't want to after Saturday. I'm hoping that this will be the game, as we said earlier, will be the start of the run. What needs to change for that to happen? And try and keep within 10 minutes here, because we're coming towards the end.
Yeah, well, there's only one thing. We need to stop being so leaky at the back. I don't think we're bad going forwards. I know we didn't maybe take as many chances at the weekend as Boya would have liked. But we've scored a lot of goals on the whole. I can't remember the last time we didn't score a goal in a game. Certainly it's been a little while in a league game. So, yeah, I don't think the problem is up at that end of the pitch other than take more chances. But it's the other end. It's the defensive side of things. And if we improve that, sounds stupid and it sounds easy, but we improve that and we win the majority of the games we've played this season. So, yeah, I don't think... Look, if we get a win, I don't think it's going to change my opinion, and there might be a lot of people that it doesn't. But even if we accept we're not going up, you still want to have something to look for as a positive, at the end of the weekend. And so, yeah, if nothing else, a win will just, as Lewis said, breed a bit of sort of positivity amongst the fan base, because we need that at the moment, and everyone's a bit despondent with everything that's going on. But the Charlton results are kind of adding to that, because you look forward to it at a weekend. So, yeah, shoring up the defence is the big thing. And whether he chooses to put personnel, I think he said Famwo's coming back again, didn't he? And whilst I think that's a positive thing, it does then mean that once again the defence is going to change, which is something I've said for I don't know how many weeks now about, particularly in the back four, you need that consistency to build the partnerships, and we're not going to have that. And I get why he's doing it. I do, the protection of the players, particularly those who've been injured, but it is a concern that once again that's going to get changed around. But sort the defence out and we win on Saturday, no problem.
Yeah, you mentioned that Akin coming back in, and it does sound like it's certainly be fit enough to start. Bowood didn't give much away in terms of a team news. He just said yes when asked if he was available Saturday. I mean, the left-back situation, that's been chopped and changed a few times recently. I think Martson, has probably needed a rest. And then Perrington's come in and done okay in stages, but he's also part of some of these mistakes we've seen for some of the goals recently. Gunter's been missing, wasn't he, on Tuesday? I don't know if he'll be fit enough to come back into the side yet, or if he was just being rested. But other than Akin coming back in, there will be a temptation to chop and change there. Particularly the left back one, I think, is probably a position that Lee can't quite decide who he wants to stick in there at the moment, Lewis.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's a difficult one to call, because I think Mattson gives us that bit more going forward, but I've been impressed with some of Perrington's displays of late. I thought he had a fairly decent game on Tuesday night. But also, the defence ultimately is our weak link at the moment. And if we can't defend, then we need to score. And sadly, I do think that we have to kind of, at the moment, just try and outscore the opposition, because we kind of sort of resign ourselves to the fact that we're going to concede. So I think I'd probably go with Mattson on Saturday, just because I think he gives us a little bit more going forward. I thought Miller had a fairly sort of anonymous game on Tuesday. I didn't see a huge amount of him. I think it's the first time I've seen him sort of like slump shoulders and a little bit fed up. So maybe you do need someone that could work with him on an overlap and be a bit more attacking down the left-hand side. I didn't know where Gunter was, but I'd imagine if he was fit, he'd come in over Matthews, because I think Matthews hasn't had the greatest couple of games, if I'm honest, at the right. So that's another change there if Gunter's fit. And obviously, if Akin's coming back in, you're assuming, do you take Piercy out, or do you line up with a five and have Piercy, Deji and Akin in there together? I think I wouldn't be surprised if he did go for five at the back, because ultimately at home at the moment we're struggling so much, and you'd think normally your home fixtures would be where you'd try and go a little bit more sort of out there and attacking. But at the moment, I think that first home win and maybe a home clean sheet that we can get, after such a long time, would do us the world of good. So I wouldn't be surprised if we did kind of play that little bit more defensive and line up as a five at the back and, try and nick something on the counter.
Yeah, well, who knows?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how we line up, especially defensively, because ultimately at the moment, whatever change he makes. Yeah, exactly.
Excellent stuff. Right. Tom, striker-wise, I mean, again, Chucks didn't do a great deal when he came on Tuesday, but you wonder if he started. I mean, Ronnie's performance for you on Tuesday again when he came on, I mean, starting to... you know, he must be starved of service, and that's probably starting to get to him a little bit now.
Yeah, I don't know if it's fair to comment on his performance, because he barely touched the ball, if at all. But also, I think that in itself is worthy of discussion. I think when he signed, and there was kind of mass excitement and a little bit of hysteria on social media, and I remember coming on the show and saying I don't expect him to hit the ground running, because he's come from another league that, you know, is a step down, I would say. Certainly maybe similar level, but hasn't played in England before, and hadn't played a lot of football for a long time. So I think if we were expecting him to hit the ground running, that was slightly naive. I also think that, again, it goes back to the identity point. He is a player that feeds off balls, drop downs, knockdowns in the box. You look at the finish he had passed into him across the 6-yard box, and he stuck it home. That's not the sort of way we're playing at the moment. When we are having the likes of Giacomo and Miller on there, it's about them getting balls in from deep for Jaden Stockley, and he's obviously proving what he can do with those sort of crosses. So if we're going to go with Schwartz next year, and obviously Stockley, we think, is going to go back, and unless we find a way to get him on a permanent, we're going to have to change the way we play football. And obviously, Giacomo is still going to be here, but he's a tricky winger that can get to the byline and can pull the ball back. So we have players that can do it. Shinny loves a pass through the middle. Jake Forster-Kaski, very good at a pass like that. Albie Morgan, good like that. So we can play to Ronnie's strengths. We're just not really doing it at the moment, because he tends to come on when we're behind. And as I said earlier, we end up lumping it long looking for Stockley. So, yeah, I feel, look, he hasn't done anything particularly special so far other than that one goal, but I also feel it's a bit harsh, because I don't think he's had his opportunities yet, and he might be another one that maybe even the end of the season is too early to judge. I know some people think he should have done something by then, but I think we need to be patient with him. We've signed him on a deal. We think he's probably going to still be here, so yeah, I'm interested to see how he develops, but he certainly hasn't pulled up too many trees so far.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see. I mean, I imagine Chooks would be starting alongside Jaden on Saturday, but I'm sure we'll see as we go into. We should speak a little bit about Blackpool. They've had a resurgence of late, winning 4 of their last 5 games, including a very impressive 1-0 win at Portsmouth last week, not conceding too many goals at the moment. In fact, all of those wins have come to nil. The only game where they've conceded was the 2-0 loss at Ipswich, the only loss in that 5 games. So they're doing well. They are sitting down in 14th, but that's only 4 points behind us. So they'll be, you know, they'll probably be more confident of getting in the playoffs than we are, because they've played 4 games fewer than us. It's crazy, isn't it, really? But yeah, a side that's had a bit of resurgence. It was quite an even game, wasn't it, up at their place, Lewis? Your red cards early on for them, and then Perrington was sent off. So, I mean, they're certainly going to be a tough test for us in the form they're in. We compare it to the form that we're in.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a pretty rubbish time to be playing them, to be honest, because they're, as you say, 4 of their last 5. They've won. Decent result against Pompey last weekend, at Pompey as well. Coming to us, who are in a real dip at the moment, especially at home. So, yeah, it is going to be tough. I mean, I sort of had at the start of the season, I thought Blackpool would be a bit further up than they are, to be honest. But as you say, only 4 points behind us. They've played 4 games less as well, so there's not a huge amount in it. I think it'll be a fairly tight contest. I'd always give us the advantage at home, but maybe not this season. But yeah, it's going to be a really tough contest. They've got some decent players in there. And as you say, off the back of some decent results as well. I mean, beating Pompey 1-0. At their place is no easy feat. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough call for us, especially given the form that we're in. But, you know, fingers crossed, we need a reaction and we need it at some point. So why not Saturday?
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed. Right, we've run out of time on this week's Big Match Preview. Thanks to all of you who have listened to the show. So don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday, as I said, to look back at that game against Blackpool and ahead to another fixture next Tuesday away at Wigan. Disappointment every 3 or 4 days, aren't we lucky? Right, thanks to Tom and to Lewis for joining me on this week's show.
Cheers, mate.
So I've been Louis Mendez. Thanks very much for listening all the way to the end. As I said, don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday. We look forward to speaking to you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.